Welcome to episode 3 of the Untapped Potential podcast, where we dive deep beneath the surface of BFRBs to discover what it takes to truly begin to heal and overcome this behavioral addiction. For those of you who don't know, BFRBs are body-focused repetitive behaviors like chronic skin picking, hair pulling, nail biting, and cheek biting. My name is Rafaela Marie. I'm your host, and I'm also a dermatillomania coach. I have dedicated the past 4 years to understanding the root causes of these behavioral addictions and how we can heal from them, because I struggled with chronic skin picking for over a decade. So I know how hard it is, and I don't want you to struggle any longer. So in this podcast, I share with you all my tips, strategies, and insights, and the process that it takes to heal. In this episode, we are diving into the number one thing that triggers us to engage in a BFRB. That is stress. I can confidently say that every single person I've spoken to who struggles with a BFRB has told me that stress is a factor, that when they are experiencing more stress or they anticipate a stressful period coming up, that's when the behavior gets worse. And stress management has been a key personal focus of mine this year. Not only does stress trigger body-focused repetitive behaviors, it also impacts sleep and quality of life and just being able to enjoy our lives and enjoy the little things and the day-to-day little tasks. And simply connect with that inner peace that we have that is always there. But when we get chronic stress, we tend to forget where it is and how to find it. So in this podcast, we're going to talk about stress, get a better understanding of stress, and also talk about how we can learn to manage it better so we can reduce how much it triggers our body-focused repetitive behavior. Where does stress come from? I don't know about you, but that's not something I ever really thought about. I never really thought about where exactly does stress come from. It was just something that I used to experience and I used to try to avoid, or I used to try and make it go away as soon as possible. I want to get real specific here because often the stress that triggers these behaviors is chronic stress. It's stress that just keeps popping up on a regular basis. Day to day, week to week, month to month, it's something that we just live with. And this leads to a dysregulated nervous system. So our baseline becomes a baseline of stress, not a baseline of calm. And to help us to return to a better baseline, we need things like skin picking, because skin picking helps us to soothe ourselves. So when we're at when our baseline is high levels of stress or this chronic stress, then it's understandable that we need things to help us calm ourselves down. And that's not just things like skin picking or hair pulling or nail biting. That can also be things like getting in the doom scroll on social media or binging Netflix or binging food or going shopping, or just any way that we can escape is a way that we deal with, an unhealthy way that we deal with chronic stress. Now, chronic stress comes from information overload, stimulation overload. Actually, you know what? We're going to talk about it in two different contexts. So there's internal and external stress. So external stress is the stuff that happens outside of us. That's all the things we have to get done. That's the expectations, the goals we need to meet. That's living in potentially a chaotic environment. So this is, I'm speaking to the mums out there or the dads that have young kids at home or any age, but I've heard young kids, the younger the child, the more chaotic. And all this is essentially an overload of something. It's an overload of information. It's an overload of stimulation. It's an overload of expectation, overload of pressure. And there is only so much information our brains can handle. And when we start to reach that overload point, we start to get stressed, especially if we're not totally sure how to reduce that stress. So if there is some uncertainty, if we have a bit of an overload of information or stimulation or whatever, and then we throw in a bit of uncertainty, like we don't know what's going to happen with this thing, and we don't know exactly how we're going to deal with it. Maybe we don't even know if we can handle it. Then that becomes an even bigger source of stress. And if we don't think we can handle it or we don't know how, then that can trigger us to fall into these self-destructive behaviors, because these self-destructive behaviors allow us to escape. and they allow us to have a brief moment of respite, because in the act of the behavior, regardless how self-destructive, we do get that soothing effect. Now, we've just talked a lot about what external stress is, but then there's also internal, and that's the beliefs and the things we tell ourselves around the thing that is becoming overloaded. So around expectations from other people or the stimulation or information overload, how we deal with that internally can either increase stress or decrease stress. So if what we tell ourselves about the thing that is stressing us is, I don't think I can handle this. This is too much. Am I going to be good enough? Am I going to let people down? I don't know what to do. I can't figure this out. If we're feeding ourselves these thoughts and these beliefs that we can't handle it, we're not going to be okay, and maybe we get rejected because we underperform or we show people that we're maybe not good enough at that thing, then we're increasing the stress. And what's really interesting here is that we all have these, every single human being has these core needs, and that is to be accepted, to be loved, and to belong. So if there is anything in our life that is threatening that, then we are either going to try and eliminate that thing or avoid the bejesus out of it. So let's talk, for example, let's give two examples. So let's talk about parenting. If you're at home with a couple of little kids and it's chaos, it's really overwhelming, they've got you've got a lot of stimulation and information overwhelm and expectation overwhelm because you want to be a good parent, but you don't have all the information, you don't know exactly how to deal with every single situation, then that in itself is stressful. The external is stressful. And then when we look internal, if what you're saying to yourself and the narrative and the beliefs that you're telling yourself is, I don't think I'm doing a very good job, I don't know what to do here, I don't think I can handle this, I'm going to mess them up, I'm going to make mistakes that are irreversible, other people are going to think I'm a crappy parent, people are going to judge me, then that comes in that risk of, I'm going to be judged, I'm not going to be accepted, I'm not going to be good enough. And that adds in another level of stress, that negative internal distortion on what is happening outside of us. Now, if we flip that and the same stuff is happening outside of us, but we have the thoughts and the belief of, I can handle this, it's okay, this is a lot, I'm going to be okay, I'm doing my best, and people are going to love me and accept me regardless. I don't have to be perfect. Now, that positive distortion on what's happening around you is going to make it easier to deal with that stress. And now let's try another example, because I know not everyone listening to this podcast is going to have children. So let's talk about work. You're at work, you have expectations, goals, things that you need to do and achieve because it's your job. Now, there could be some information overload, expectation overload, pressure overload. And when we flip to the internal, if there are thoughts and beliefs there that are saying, I can't handle this, I'm a fraud, people are going to figure it out, that I'm not right for this job, that I'm an imposter, then that's going to have a very negative distortion on the stress outside of you. And it's going to make you want to avoid that stress rather than deal with it, because there is that fear there that potentially you can't handle it, you won't be good enough, and people are going to notice and see that, and they're going to reject you for it. And going back to our core needs, we at our core are driven away from things that we think will end up in rejection, because our core need is for acceptance and to belong, because we are social beings. Now, if we look at a positive distortion on that external stress, external overload, which is, I'm doing my best, I'm going to ask for help if I need it, I'm going to ask questions if I don't know what to do, I can handle this, I'm going to figure it out, I know that even if I make a mistake, it's going to be okay. And if I make a mistake, I'm going to learn something and I'm going to get better at this. You can see the positive distortion on that and how that's going to impact how you show up in that stressful environment and how you approach that stress. So I just want you to consider for a moment, when you think of the things that stress you out, what is going on inside you internally? What are the things that you're saying to yourself? What are the stories you tell yourself? Is there a lot of fear there? Is there anxiety? Is there fear of making a mistake or not being good enough? Because these are going to be really clear indications of how your internal perspective is either negatively or positively impacting your ability to deal with stress. And I want to point out here, we're not trying to eliminate stress completely, because stress is actually a good thing. It helps us to grow. It's chronic stress that is the thing that we want to eliminate. But stress itself, it's an opportunity to grow. It's a challenge. It's showing us where we have room for growth and learning, because stress is an indication of, hey, there's something here that I can improve or learn or do that's going to help me to manage this better. And people who are really good at managing stress are not people who experience less of it. Often people who are very good at stress have a lot more going on in their lives, but they've just learned how to deal with it in a really good way. They have a really healthy perspective on stress, and they have really healthy internal stories and things they tell themselves when they experience it. So, for example, I'm sure you've experienced this, or you know someone, or maybe you are that person. You're trying to find a park in the city. That in itself is stressful. It's very chaotic. There's a lot of information overload going on there, because there's heaps happening you need to keep your eyes on in a city when you're driving. It can be really frustrating to find a park. Maybe you have some time pressure because you need to find the park and get to this thing that you want to go to in the city. There's a lot happening, all right? Now, some people will lose their shit. It will ruin their entire day or ruin the evening. Maybe they'll even just give up and go home, because their capacity to deal with stress, their resilience to stress, is quite low. And then you have someone who's in the exact same situation, time pressure, busy city, can't find a park, and they experience the stress, but they don't turn it into a big story. It doesn't overwhelm them. They're able to manage it, and they trust themselves to be able to deal with it, and it's going to be okay. They're going to be okay. They're able in that moment to see the bigger picture. They're not absorbed and overcome by the stress itself, by the feeling of the stress. And people are not born that way. This is a skill we need to learn. We need to learn, or we don't need to, but it's definitely a good thing to learn if you want to have fun and enjoy your life. So learning to manage stress in a better way, learning to become resilient to stress, is a thing that we can learn. And I also want to point out that being in a stressful environment and putting yourself in stressful environments does not necessarily mean that you are good at dealing with stress. And I want to use myself as an example here, because I'm actually a qualified chef that I did my apprenticeship in Australia. I currently live in Switzerland, but I did my apprenticeship in Australia. And when I was 19, I got a job in a fine dining restaurant on the Northern Beaches in Sydney. And in that job, we worked an average of 60 hours a week. It was high pressure. It was extremely stressful. And I used to think I was really good at dealing with stress simply because I was working a really stressful job. And I thought, you know, I'm really good at dealing with this. Now, I can tell you now, looking back, I was not good at dealing with stress. I was not dealing with stress. I was suppressing all of it. I was a major perfectionist. I had to control every single little thing. I was struggling with insomnia. I was drinking way too much, eating whatever food I could get my hand on, because food was one of the ways that I soothed myself. I was not very resilient to stress. And also, in saying that, that environment is not a very nurturing environment to be in. And I'm happy to not be in that environment anymore. And I'll tell you something really interesting. Our internal world will reflect our external world to some extent. Now, I was an anxious mess at that stage. I didn't realize that I was an anxious person. I didn't realize I had anxiety at that point in my life, but I absolutely did. Looking back, all the signs are there. And chronic anxiety, chronic stress is an indication of a dysregulated nervous system. And so if you're living in a dysregulated nervous system, then you're actually going to be seeking out environments and situations that are stressful, because we subconsciously seek out people, environments, jobs, situations that are a mirror of what's going on internally. Now, that isn't to say if you have a screaming kid at home that you are also screaming on the inside, although maybe you are. I don't know. But this is where the chronic aspect comes in. If you are noticing that in many aspects of your life, there is a component of chronic stress or anxiety, then that's a pattern. And that's a mirror of what's going on the inside. Now, I sought out a high pressure, highly stressful job because I had a dysregulated nervous system. I sought out living environments that were not relaxing, that were quite stressful. I lived in a lot of shared living. And I moved into places that I would never have moved into now. Like if I had that option now, I wouldn't move in there because I would know that's not going to be a comfortable place to live. But I chose to live there at that stage in my life because it mirrored my nervous system. So if you have a regulated nervous system, you're automatically going to seek out situations, people, and jobs that are going to reflect that. Now, obviously, it's not 100%. There can be people who have regulated nervous systems that have high-pressure jobs. They're probably quite good at dealing with stress on a healthy level. Essentially, what I'm trying to say is our internal world creates our external world. Our external world is a reflection of our internal world. If there is a lot of chaos and chronic stress and anxiety in our external world, you bet, you can guarantee there is a lot of chaos and chronic stress and anxiety going on in the internal. And let's go back to the internal. What is that chronic stress and anxiety? It's how we're speaking to ourselves. It's the beliefs that we have. It's thinking, I'm not going to be good enough. I can't do this. People are going to find me out. I'm going to be a fraud. They're going to reject me. And I don't think I can handle this. There's a lack of trust in ourselves and quite a lot of negative talk. And there is a fear of taking risks as well, a fear of stepping out of our comfort zone. And so if we live with this, if this is what our internal world looks like, it's no wonder we need things like body-focused repetitive behaviors to help us soothe ourselves, because our literal internal world is a high stress environment. And so how do we learn to start changing that? The first thing is getting real honest with yourself. Look at the different aspects of your life. Acknowledge what aspects of your life are stressful. And do you see an end to that stress? And this isn't the wishful thinking of like, oh, when I get that done, everything's going to be better. I remember I used to say that to myself all the time for years and years since I was a child, or I would tell myself, when I do that or when that happens, everything's going to be better. And this is a real dangerous trap we fall into. This is called magical thinking. And it's actually a way we keep ourselves stuck in chronic stress and anxiety because we see the solution to that stress in the future. It's coming towards us and it will perpetually, forever be coming towards you because there will always be that next thing to achieve or that next thing to do or that next thing to wait for that's going to alleviate all the stress. And then life will finally be better. This is a really dangerous mindset to fall into, and it's one that I personally have worked my ass off to get out of. So first of all, acknowledge if you're engaging in magical thinking and notice, recognize when it pops up. A big step in learning how to better manage stress is just becoming aware of where the chronic stress is and where we're holding ourselves back. Because where you're experiencing chronic stress is where you have a huge opportunity for personal growth, because there is a block there, and that block there is there externally because there is a block inside you internally. So if you're experiencing chronic stress because you don't like your job and you haven't liked it for a long time, there is an internal block there. Potentially there is a fear of taking a risk and finding a job that you're more passionate about. So if, for example, relationships for you, there is chronic stress and there seems to be always drama or arguing or tension, that's something to look into, because this external stress is not happening to us. We're actually attracting it to ourselves. If we have a stressful, unhealthy relationship with ourselves, the internal, that's what we're going to attract in our lives. Not every time. Doesn't mean if you have a strained or a difficult relationship with yourself that you're only going to find difficult relationships with people. But it could show up in your ability to be reliable or to connect or to be vulnerable. Or maybe you do find that you're attracting really dramatic relationships. Or maybe you're attracting people that drain you. So the first step to becoming more resilient to stress is acknowledging where your internal world is impacting your external world. And we want to become very aware of where we're experiencing chronic stress. Are we experiencing chronic stress in our relationships? Are we experiencing chronic stress in our job? Are we experiencing chronic stress in our personal life, in meeting goals or setting goals or following through? Are we experiencing chronic stress in our health? And are we applying magical thinking to those areas of our life? Are we telling ourselves, when I do this, or when this happens, or at this time, oh, it's all going to get better? And how often do we tell ourselves that? How long have you been telling yourself that same story. And then when we identify these chronic stress areas of our lives, we have a few different ways we can approach it. We can say, okay, is it my internal stories, my quote unquote mindset around this that is creating the stress? Maybe I want to take a more forward thinking approach to this thing that's stressing me out. Maybe I want to tell myself a bit more that I can do it. I can figure it out. It's okay if I make a mistake. I want to see, is there a mindset aspect? Is there a limiting belief that's causing this thing to be that stressful? Then we also want to ask ourselves, is this thing something that is just simply out of alignment with me? And that's why it's causing me stress. Am I doing something that I, at a core level, do not want to do? Am I saying yes to something that I want to say no to? Because then you can do all the mindset work you want around that. You can try and be positive. That turns into toxic positivity. And somehow you still find yourself in a situation where you think, this just sucks. Like, I hate this. It's so stressful. I don't want to do this anymore. And that's an opportunity to really take yourself seriously and think, maybe I need to make an actual change in this external environment. So I worked in the hospitality industry for about 10 years, possibly a bit more, maybe 11 years. And I had already decided around 21, 22 that I didn't want to be in the industry anymore. But once you're in hospitality, it can be quite hard to leave. So I stayed and I had ups and downs. I had moments where I still enjoyed it. I had moments where I absolutely hated it and wanted to leave again. And into my last year or two of working in the industry, I really struggled. It was hard. And I did all the mindset work you can think of. I tried to think positively. I tried to think of what I gained and what I was learning and how it was helping me grow as a person. I did all that stuff. And still at my core, I was not satisfied. I was not fulfilled. I was still feeling like I was being dragged down. The amount I focused on my mindset, I began to gaslight myself. I began to trying to convince myself that how I felt wasn't real and that it was just my mindset, which is exhausting because then you think like, what else am I not doing? What is wrong with my brain that I can't just convince myself to like this and to be positive? Because I was simply done with the job. It did not resonate with me on any level. I did not like it. And I knew that at my core, which is why it didn't matter the mindset stuff I did around it. I simply did not like it anymore. And so then there is an aspect to things that are stressing you out where you get to the point where you think, okay, maybe this thing is causing me stress because I simply want to move away from it. I want to say no to this instead of saying yes. Raise your hand if you're a people pleaser. So far, every single person I've met in this community is or was a people pleaser. And that causes a lot of stress because we say yes to a lot of things that we would rather say no to. And we don't even notice that on a conscious level. It's all happening subconsciously because we just want to make sure that other people are okay and that other people like us and that we're serving other people. And we abandon ourselves in the process and we ignore that little twinge of discomfort, that little twinge of exhaustion or dislike. And we put the needs and the expectations and the wants of other people on top of that. And people pleasers tend to gaslight themselves and try to work on just their mindset and trying to be positive so that they don't have to then make the hard decision to say no. People pleasers would rather abandon themselves than say no to someone and make someone else uncomfortable or take a risk that maybe other people won't agree with. And so a huge part of learning to manage stress better, especially for people pleasers, is simply learning to say no and to take how we feel seriously about certain things, about all things. We want to take ourselves seriously. We want to take how we feel seriously all the time. It's just recognizing when potentially it's not a mindset thing. It's just simply, I don't like this. I don't want to say no. And honoring that and saying no. So that's the third thing we can do to begin to manage stress better. The first thing is simply become aware of where chronic stress is, where things have just been stressing you for a long, long time. Second thing is recognize if you're using magical thinking, if you're telling yourself when this is done, when I do this, when this changes, then everything will be better. And then acknowledge how long you've been saying that to yourself. Because from my experience, like I told you, I have been telling myself that almost my entire life, since I was a young child. And it's a survival mechanism. It's a way to survive in chronic stress. The thing is, you're an adult now and you have a choice to say yes or no to things to create change so that you can live a life that doesn't have chronic stress in it. So you can live a life that is nurturing and fulfilling and where you can relax and just enjoy the little moments, which is the third thing, which is learning to say no to the things that we want to say no to and yes to opportunities that potentially scare us, but that we feel we want to do anyway. And now I want to share with you something that is really, really freaking cool. And it's literally changed my life and it continues to change my life. Recently, I used a tool that assesses your thinking patterns and styles. It's very much like a personality test, but more effective because our thinking is what impacts our personality. So it goes a layer deeper than a personality test. And it assesses you on 41 traits in different areas of your life. And these are 41 traits that we all have. It then gives you, in each of those 41 traits, it gives you a scale of 1 to 10, which lets you see whether you excel in that certain trait or whether you have room for improvement. And I got to tell you, I did this and it blew my mind. When I did this, one of the trait areas is planning. How good are you at planning? And I got a 0. In that area. And I am building a business. So that's a pretty bad area to have a 0 in. But it blew my mind because I saw the other traits that were related to planning and structure and processes and systems. And in all those areas, I scored very low, which is an indication that that is an area of stress for me. And I recognize that that is actually an area of chronic stress for pretty much my entire adult life. It really showed what area of my life was causing me stress, and it was accurate. And since then, because I have addressed those areas in my profile that were lacking, my life has gotten exponentially better. And I wanted to tell you about another trait I score quite low in, because these traits cover all areas of life. So I've just talked about structure. So one trait I score quite low in was outspokenness. I scored a 2 in outspokenness. It's a scale of 0 to 10. And I mean, I'm doing a podcast. I post on social media all the time, my opinion. So I was quite surprised when I saw a 2. But it led to a really beautiful discovery and breakthrough because I told my coach about this. I have a coach. I walk the talk. And I told them about this because they know this profiling tool. And I told them about it and I said, hey, what's going on here? I don't fully understand this. And what came up was, in certain areas of my life, I'm outspoken. In certain others, I tend to hold myself back and my opinions back a lot. And that is in friendships specifically. And the reason why I would hold my opinions back in relationships was because I was afraid that I would sabotage that relationship. That if I spoke my mind, if I voiced an opinion, regardless of the topic, it could be on the most trivial thing, but if I voiced my opinion and it wasn't in agreement with the other person, I was afraid that I would lose that friendship. Now, I never really thought about that. I never really had voiced that out loud. And then we explored it deeper. And of course, it came from my childhood. My mother was a very highly opinionated person, to the extent that her opinion was the truth in her eyes. And if you had any opposing opinions, you would get in a lot of trouble. And I learned the hard way that if I voiced an opinion that she did not agree with, that would lead to rejection. And remember what we talked about earlier in the episode, where our core needs are to be loved and accepted and to belong. And especially for a child, if they feel there is a risk to that, they will suppress the part of themselves that is risking that safety, that is risking that connection, that is putting them in the firing line of rejection. And so I learned as a child that voicing my opinion would lead to rejection. And so I suppressed my opinion so that I would be accepted. Now, there's a lot more to that story. But when I uncovered that, when we dove deep into that, just realizing what it was that was holding me back and how it was holding me back from more vulnerability and a deeper intimacy with my friends, it helped me to break down a wall inside myself. And I had no idea that that wall was causing me a little bit of stress, a little bit of emotional pain. Because I recognized for a while that that wall was there. I just didn't know how to take that wall down. I didn't know how should I take a step closer to my friends? How can I become more vulnerable and more open? I didn't know what it specifically it was that was holding me back until I saw on my report that outspoken was a mere 2. Until I dove into that with my coach and I realized what specifically it was that was holding me back from true connection, from a deeper connection with my friends. And that was simply, I was holding a part of me back. I was holding back my opinion. I was doing the people-pleasing thing and just agreeing. Not necessarily in every situation, but was doing it more than I would like. I was doing it enough that it was holding me back. So now I'm seeing in my report, wherever I scored low is potentially an area that's causing me chronic stress. And if it works specifically on that trait, that area, then I'm going to start to alleviate that chronic stress and I'm going to alleviate my dependence on unhealthy coping mechanisms. And it's friggin' true, which is so exciting. So you know what I've done? Because I love this tool so much, I went ahead and I've learned how to use it. I've learned how to use it with my clients. And now you can get access to this research-backed profiling tool. Take the quiz, get your mind-blowing report that's going to give you insane insights into your thinking patterns in 41 different traits. And then together, we can do a 3-hour unpack of your profile and essentially set up a game plan for you to heal from your BFRB based off the areas that you scored low in. This profiling tool has literally helped me to accelerate my growth and to transform aspects of my life that I've been stuck on and struggling with for a really long time. So all you need to do to get access to this tool is to contact me. I'm going to leave a link in the description. So just go ahead and click on that and we can get this ball rolling. And now let's just quickly recap what we've gone over, because this is a huge topic. And when you become more resilient to stress, when you learn to deal with it better, when you reduce the chronic stress in your life, you are going to regain an incredible amount of control over your BFRB. It is the key component to healing and recovering from a BFRB. So the first thing we want to do is we just want to become aware, conscious of where we are experiencing chronic stress. Then we want to acknowledge, are we engaging in magical thinking? Are we hoping that it's all just going to get better in the future? The third thing is assess what kind of chronic stress it is. Is it coming from limiting beliefs or mindset or self-talk that's holding you back? Or is it simply something that you need to say no to? And the fourth thing is, if you want to take this to the next level, get your hands on this profiling tool that I just told you about. You deserve to live a life that is nurturing, where you get to enjoy the little moments, where you get to relax, where you get to have time for yourself, where you get to enjoy being in your own body and just being you, because you are a gift to this earth. And it's a privilege to be with you. It's a privilege to talk to you. It's a privilege to be you. We're so used to putting ourselves down. We're so used to being quote unquote humble, when being humble is actually self-deprecation. Let's change that. Let's be proud of who we are. Let's love who we are and let's share that with the friggin' world. And if there's people who want to bring you down, who think that you're too big for your boots, that's their problem. Because you are amazing. You are a gift. And I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad I got to talk to you. And I'm so grateful you've taken the time to listen to me and to share this space with me. If you got value out of this episode, hit subscribe, hit like, leave a review. I would love to hear your thoughts. And if you want to get access to that profiling tool, don't forget to click on the link in the description. Have an amazing evening, day, morning, wherever you are, and talk next time.